I was struck this morning, I was going to speak on one of the Beatitudes, as I have been. Past few times I've stood up here. And it struck me this morning that, when Jesus was giving that teaching, that those that were listening to him, we're all at different places with him, different places in their walk as disciples. Some would have been poor in spirit. Some would have been hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Some would have been facing conflict and persecution. Some would be mourning. And as he spoke these words, as he spoke the Beatitudes, he was telling them what a blissful state it was to be mourning or to be hungry for righteousness' sake or to be poor in spirit. And he was saying what the blissful state it is, how blessed it was, and celebrating that state. And whatever we came to church with this morning, whatever we were carrying, whether we were carrying sadness or hopelessness or despair or excitement or joy or just being distracted by things or being distracted by people, we're all in different places, and but Jesus' words are eternal and they have life in them. And so Jesus, I just pray, I ask that you would help me just capture your heart for us this morning. You would just continue to minister to us. And Lord, that you would put power in your word, that we would understand what you were teaching us, what you were teaching the disciples then, and what you want us to know now. That we may be better ambassadors for you, that we may walk with you more closely and know you more dearly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're here this morning. Increase our faith, Lord. Amen. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And as David has pointed out a number of times when he's spoken about peace, he said, in Hebrew, peace never just means the absence of trouble. It's the presence of God with us. And if you were in the Middle East and you were to greet someone with a shalom, you're saying peace to them. Or if they weren't a Hebrew speaker, if they were an Arabic speaker, you'd say something like, Salam Alaikum. Slightly different pronunciation probably. Mine's a East Sussex pronunciation. But it's just blessing them with peace. And which you're not just blessing them for the absence of evil, you're blessing them for the presence of all good things. And here, in Jesus' words, blessed are the peacemakers. The blessing is on the peacemaker, not just the peace lover. I know from time to time we will let things go just for the sake of a bit of peace and quiet. We will let problematic situations go unchallenged. Quite often they can turn out worse if not confronted earlier. And as parents of two young boys, we would often say we had to pick our fights, otherwise there would be continual conflict in the house, because little boys, as they grow up, have their own ideas what life should be like. So we would pick our fights. I don't know if that was a good thing or not. I don't know if we did the right thing or not. Quite often I think we didn't, but I think there's a certain amount of grace that God extends to us as well. He doesn't fight us on every front. He woos us and loves us. promised Lindley a picture. I'll give it. It's not a very nice picture. But it's a picture. Lindley likes pictures. Told you it wasn't a very nice picture. There's a picture. Yeah, it's not really either. Do you know what it is? Anybody know what that is? Is it what? Good, Colt 45. It's a Colt revolver. Yeah, it's proper name is a Colt single action army model, and it was known as the Peacemaker, ironically. And one, I was looking up on this, and in one of the websites it says it's the celebrated killing machine, which is just awful. Apparently they made 457,000 of these. And you would think with that many peacemakers circulating, certainly in North America, not the rest of the world, with that many peacemakers circulating, you would think there'd be a lot more peace than there is right now. But obviously Jesus wasn't talking about that. He wasn't talking about the Colt 45 peacemaker. And the only reason for showing that is because it is symbolic of the common perception of what peace looks like, or rather how to get peace, and that's by removing our enemies. And that's what that was designed to do, get rid of your enemies, eliminate those who oppose us. If we do that, we'll have lasting peace. If we get rid of our annoying neighbours, peace will reign. After all, it's their very presence that robs us of peace, isn't it? So therefore it's justifiable to get rid of them. See, that's just about getting what we want. So in Hebrew, you know, when Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they be called, we have a more inclusive translation of the gospel now. And it says, they'll be called children of God. The original version of my Bible says they were called sons of God. And it was because in Hebrew, that was how it was said. That if you called a man, a son of peace, what you're really saying is he was a peaceful man. And it was the way that, is the way they would that was the way they would describe an individual. In Acts you've got Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, defining him as an encourager. So we would describe him as a very encouraging person, but in Hebrew he was called a son of encouragement. Or you have a Batnabas, which is a daughter of encouragement. Everybody needs a Barnabas. Everybody needs a Batnabas. People to encourage you and keep you going. There were some other names in the Bible. There was one, Bartimaeus. We know blind Bartimaeus. And it says in your gospel, that means son of Timaeus. What it actually means son of filth. But we've got a very sanitized translation. So this is half translated into son of Timaeus, but it means son of filth. Well, slightly worse than that, it's sort of contaminated, unclean, defiled. And so that poor Bartimaeus lived with that. And you've got Boanerges, James and John, that Jesus described as Boanerges, which meant sons of thunder, which kind of probably encapsulated their tempestuous nature. So when Jesus was saying, blessed are the peacemakers, this congratulatory, sort of blissful, how wonderful, you know, how blessed are the peacemakers, because they'll be called children of God, he says, I mean, they're godly, because they're doing godlike work. They're reflecting his nature of making peace. In William Barclay's commentary, he says, rabbis held that the highest calling on a man was to establish right relationships between men. I'm sure Jesus would have modeled this with his disciples. He had Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax collector, coming from political opposites. A bit like in America, you've got such polarized political views. You're either a Republican or you're a Democrat, so polarized. And never the two will meet. And I'd imagine that Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax collector had those very, very different backgrounds. And James and John, these sons of thunder, and I'm sure there were others. And they all seemed to know that Judas Iscariot nicked the money out of the purse. So I'd imagine there was an awful lot of Jesus modeling, you know, fellowship and how to make peace and to love one another. And Jesus' treatment of blind Bartimaeus was another very characteristic redemptive act of his. When the rest of the crowd is telling him to shut up, Jesus says, yeah, call him. Bring him over here, I want to see him. And similarly, when Zacchaeus was up the tree, you know, Jesus said, I'm going to eat at your house tonight, drawing the attention, drawing that anger, drawing that hatred, that resentment on himself rather than on Bartimaeus or Zacchaeus. Always redemptive in everything he did. Jesus also said, just to make it awkward for us because it's never that simple, Jesus also said, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Matthew 10:34. So what does he want us to do? Does he want us to bring peace or a sword? Does he want us to be peacemakers or cause trouble? When he's talking about in Luke 12:51, he says, do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. There's tension. There's tension between that. But, you know, I think this is where taking verses out of context can cause us issues, and we might just want to apply whatever verse we want to whatever cause we want to champion. Christ has to have precedence over all other loyalties, no matter how dear, whether family or friends or work or whatever. Christ always has to have preeminence, precedence over all those other things, and that's where the division comes. That's where families turn on you for becoming a Christian. Matthew, in his beatitude, Jesus is stating that the blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Peacemakers in this context are those who promote God's peace. And that can be on the global stage. I mentioned a few weeks ago Gordon Wilson, who's very public, forgiving of the terrorist who killed his daughter. Extraordinary, extraordinary act of grace. How that started to change the Northern Ireland situation and ended up working towards that peace accord. He would be a peacemaker. He was reflecting God's nature by extending forgiveness. He was godlike. He was a godly man. And when we do things like that, no matter how small the act, although for him it would have been a very painful and costly act to forgive. Globally it was a tiny, in many ways insignificant thing, but it caught everybody's attention. That forgiveness, that love of God that was in him that became manifest in his forgiveness, changed that. When we think about Ukraine and that conflict there, how can you resolve that? How can you resolve the hatred in the Middle East? How can you resolve that division in Syria as a consequence of the civil war that's been raging there for years? In some ways, I believe God will resolve it through a small act on someone's part, like Gordon Wilson, that triggers a change in heart. And when we pray, let's pray for something like that, for God to raise up one like that. They reflect the Father's character of peace and unity. It's a right beatitude, and it's right that it follows on from blessed are the pure in heart, because it's the absence of mixed motives, hidden agendas, self-promotion, personal gain that gives the power to selflessly, even altruistically, make peace. And so, yeah, we may not be able to affect what's going on in Ukraine. We may not be able to affect what's going on in the village individually, but we can bring peace to one another. And we can pray to be vessels of God's peace. We can support one another. And from time to time, you know, we all can become anxious and lose our peace over different things. And sometimes we need a brother or sister to come alongside us and you know, bring Jesus into that situation. We can lose perspective, and somehow the problem that we face, or the situation that we face, or the discord that we're in the midst of, can seem so much bigger than Jesus. And sometimes it takes a brother or sister in Christ to come alongside us, to pray with us, to minister to us, and minister into that discord or that place where there is no peace. And we can do that. We can do that we can do that for each other. So I think I want to let's have a time of ministry. I think God is still here. I haven't shooed him away, I think. If you're facing issues at work, and God might want you to be that peacemaker in that situation, or come alongside someone and bring a Christ-centered perspective on the situation. We live in an angst-ridden world. There's a lot of anxiety out there because there's not much of the church out there, not much of Christ's, not much of Jesus out there. But nothing is impossible for him. Now that we only have one enemy. We only have one enemy, which is the devil. Don't let him rob you or your neighbor of the peace that is yours in him, is theirs in him. So let's just do this. Let's just ask him to come and minister to us and bring his peace. Jesus, there is no one like you. Lord, there is none like you. You have the words of life. You have the words of eternal life. And nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is too big for you. Whether it's a murderous conflict in Eastern Europe, or whether it's family dispute or a dispute with a neighbor, nothing is too big for you. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch our hearts. Help us to have more of you in these situations. You are the God of peace, Prince of peace, Prince of peace, Lord. I'm struck by tales of revival where communities are transformed by the presence of God. And you hear of, I was reading something just this week, someone in the Welsh Revival, a policeman who ended up going to a meeting because he was bored, because he had nothing to do. There was no crime. And courts didn't sit because there was no crime. Because the Prince of Peace came and dwelt among them and touched the hearts of men and women, the troublemakers, and made them peacemakers. Jesus, would you do that now? Jesus, would you do that now? Would you touch our hearts, Lord, in this room? Would you start with us? Jesus, would you start with us? Would you touch our hearts and make us peacemakers where we've been troublemakers? Would you transform our lives? Would you cause us to transform this this generation, this land, this place where we live, and the lives that we encounter. Would you transform us that we may bring you, Lord, into situations, and that more communities will encounter you through us. Would you come? Would you touch each of our hearts, Lord, this morning? As we surrender to you. Lord, I get distracted by so many things, and my heart goes after so many things, so many bright, shiny things. None of them fulfill, none of them bring peace. Make our hearts pure, O God. Give us clean hands and a pure heart. We may ascend your holy mountain. That we may come into your presence always, dwell in your presence with pure hearts and clean hands.